my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil and my cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. You will recall that it was this psalm that I turned to earlier in the year and shared from. In particular, verse 6, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And I shared that I felt that that was the verse the Lord had given to me to give to us as an assembly, as a church, to be our motto, our go-to verse for 2023. And even though we're only just into the latter part of the first month of this year, since the new year, on New Year's Day, I wasn't here, January the 1st, I was away, but I know that Norman spoke. And when Norman spoke on that Sunday morning, he spoke or said within what he had to share, the need for God's people to be moving on. And he made reference to the children of Israel, emphasizing the fact that instead of moving on, they remained in the wilderness and they just went round and round in circles. And when we apply the need to move forward to ourselves, moving forward to ourselves, I guess our willingness to move forward is often dependent upon who it is that we choose to listen to. And if we go back again to those that were in the wilderness, that were led out of Egypt towards the promised land, you remember that there was a story that comes there in that account of the 12 spies. We used to sing a little song at Sunday school, 12 spies went to spy in Cana. And the verdict is that 10 were bad, 2 were good. What we find about these 12 spies, even though God had promised them this land, as they went into Cana to spy it out, they soon broke up into two ranks. There were those who made up the rank of 10, who were full of negativity. And then there were the two, the smaller rank, just 2, of Joshua and Caleb, and we find that these 2 were men who were full of positivity. As I thought about it, I thought of something like the Houses of Parliament. And so when we look at the 12 spies, we have the nays to the left, it makes 83.3% of them. And we have the ayes to the right, and they just made 11.67%. Now we know that in Parliament, with figures like that, the nays 83.3, the ayes 11.67, then the nays would have won. That's how Parliament works. And thank God that's not how it worked in the story of them moving out into the land of Canaan. Even though the majority of the spies were negative and we can't go in and full of woe and everything else, thank God they listened to the 2 that were willing to say, yes, we can. With our God, we are well able to get into the land. And sadly, as we think of churches and moving forward in the purposes of God and everything else, it's sad that within churches, we find that similar groupings can be found. There always seem to be those who are pessimistic. Then, at the same time, there are those who are optimistic. There are those who prefer to remain as is. But then there are those who want to move forward. Just the same story. Some, let's stay. Others, let's move on. It's also interesting when you go back to this whole account in the Old Testament of the children of Israel, that there were always those who seemed that they thought that they could lead better than Moses. The leaders. And we know what happened when Moses went up to the mountain. When he returned, the folk along with Aaron had manufactured the golden calf. They wanted to do their own thing instead of following the one that God had given to lead them. And the sad fact of the matter is that it happens in churches as well. There are those who think that they can lead better than the oversight or better than the leadership. And when that happens, if not careful, it can lead to schism. It can lead to division. And sadly, that is so often the reason why so many churches just seem to split. Schism comes, disunity is found, and the churches go in two separate directions. I remember seeking to take one of the churches I've pastored in Sudbury, I've pastored in Shrewsbury, I've pastored in Wrexham, I've pastored in Rhyl, and I can remember seeking to lead one of those churches forward, to move out of the rut that they were in, to look to what could be if they were willing to make change and to follow direction. And as I shared the vision with the church, I soon discovered, not long afterwards, that there were those in the congregation, and this is the sad part, there were those within the leadership as well that began to plant seeds of negativity amongst members of the congregation. And in the end, it led to the church just remaining where it was. They just didn't have the heart, the longing, the desire to move on and forward into what I believed God had got for them at that particular time. They ended in the wilderness. Can I say that there is nothing more damaging to the spiritual well-being of a church than to have little groups who mutter and grumble or complain or behind backs seem to think that they could do better, they could move the church on more better. What we need in churches today is Joshua and Caleb leadership, or Caleb, whichever you prefer to say. I say either Caleb or Caleb. That's what we need, isn't it? Yes, they were a minority. Joshua and Caleb were just 2 against 10. And yet these 2 out of the 12, they believed in the impossible. They believed in being led in the direction to which God was calling them. They were the ones who were focused on what God was actually calling the people to do, the assembly of the people to do. And they encouraged them. Yes, we can go forward in the Lord's will. And then the Sunday after Norman was speaking, I shared about the need to move forward in God, as I shared from what I felt and gave on that Sunday morning. And you remember that the theme that I brought into it on that occasion was that as we step into 2023 and move on in 2023, that we need to clasp the hand of the divine. We need to put our hand in the hand of Almighty God, not in each other's hands. We need to hold his hand, the divine hand, and walk with him into all that he has prepared for us for this year of 2023 and what he has prepared for us in the time, the years that lie beyond. And then since then, Ian shared last week from Philippians 3. And as Ian shared last week from Philippians 3, he talked about the need to look forward, moving forward. And he reminded us that it's okay to look backwards, remembering what God has done. And there's no problem with that. But what is more important is to look forward. And I want to add to that, not just to look forward, but to move forward. Because we can look forward and stay where we are. We need to look forward and move forward. And you may recall that after Ian had shared last Sunday evening, I attempted to quote the words of a song that I remembered singing. This was, I think, last Sunday evening, I think it was. And the song that I tried to remember quoting was, "And the end is not yet, praise the Lord." I can see John beaming. "And the end is not yet, praise the Lord." And I couldn't recall all the words, not even remembering if it was in our songbooks. And John did come to me afterwards, after I'd mentioned that chorus, and he said that he could remember it being sung. And so on Monday, I decided to find it. And hey presto, here it is. It's in Making Melody, and it's number 604. And I'm going to read the words. "I have tried to count his blessings, and I failed to understand why the Lord should so richly reward. Could I count the stars of heaven, add to them earth's grains of sand, still his blessings are more, praise the Lord. And the end is not yet, praise the Lord. And the end is not yet, praise the Lord. Blessings new he is still bestowing, and my cup is overflowing. And the end is not yet, praise the Lord." And then the second verse, "Like an army I behold him pass before me in review." That's the blessings. "Oh, what joy doth the sight now afford. Though they may be long in passing, still they come battalions new. And the end is not yet, praise the Lord." And then verse 3. "Surely goodness, love and mercy have been mine a long life's way, and my weak heart to strength is restored, and my cup of joy and gladness keeps overflowing day by day, and the end is not yet, praise the Lord. And the end is not yet, praise the Lord. And the end is not yet, praise the Lord. Blessings new he's still bestowing, and my cup is overflowing. And the end is not yet, praise the Lord." So that was the song. It is in the books, but what immediately caught my attention when I found this hymn on Monday morning was verse 3 of it. "Surely goodness, love and mercy have been mine a long life's way, and my weak heart to strength is restored, and my cup of joy and gladness keeps on flowing day by day, and the end is not yet, praise the Lord." See, it's verse 3 again from, verse 6 again from Psalm 23. The verse that the Lord had given to me for the assembly. "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Let me ask us all a question. As you look back over your life, so this is the looking back bit, as you look back over your life, can you say, can you testify, yes, yes, that surely goodness, love and mercy have been yours a long life's way? See, however far along life's way we may so far have been, can we say that we have proven without any shadow of doubt the faithfulness of God? I believe we'd all say yes, wouldn't we? We would all say yes. And tonight, I'm confident of this, that John, because we know that he's just had his 98th birthday, I'm sure that John would testify that over his 98 years, God has been faithful. And John would say that surely goodness, love, and mercy have been his along life's way. And I'm just approaching 63 years of age, 35 years younger than John. Wow. Well, you're 35 years older than me. Whatever way you look at it, but I can say that surely goodness, love, and mercy have been mine along life's way. And even with our congregation tonight, with the various age groups that we've got, that even so, though some may not have committed their lives to the Lord Jesus Christ, till they were older in life, maybe in their 20s or 30s, or maybe even later, I'm sure that you would say that God has still been faithful. And even when there may have been times when you had no interest in God, that looking back, you would declare that God was still interested in you. Because God loves us. And he's faithful towards us. Even when we didn't know him, he was working for us. Because the scripture says that even when we didn't love God, he loved us. And when we even had no thought for God, God was still thinking about us. So we can all say, surely goodness, love, and mercy have been mine along life's way. Now, in recognizing that this is our testimony, on reading verse 3 in the hymn, as I said, my mind was immediately taken back to Psalm 23, and it confirmed to me again, without any shadow of doubt, that this must be the motto, the go-to verse that God wants us to have as a fellowship. And so I'm going to read it again. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me. It's been there all those years, 98 years, 63 years, however long you could say you've been, however old you are, it's been with us. Surely goodness and mercy, it's followed us. But the psalmist says it shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. See, as we link this verse to our looking backwards to the faithfulness of God, we must also link it to our looking forward. Our looking forward. Mm-hmm. See, the one who has been faithful will still be faithful in all the days that we still have to live out our lives in this world before we leave the scene of time and enter into eternity. And until that day arrives, we can sing with faith in our hearts the words of verse 3 in that hymn, and the chorus as well that says, and the end is not yet, praise the Lord. We've still got breath in our beings. We've still got whatever future there is ahead of us. And so we can say, the end is not yet, praise the Lord. Blessing still he is bestowing. And my heart is overflowing. And that leads to the second question this evening. Can you truly say this evening that your heart is overflowing? Is your heart overflowing? It's a perfectly serious question to be asking. Because there is one thing for sure, if we're found here this evening and our hearts are not overflowing with the blessing and the goodness and the faithfulness and the favour of God, if we cannot say that our lives are not overflowing, then we cannot blame God. Not one of us can blame God, because he is continually faithful in his blessing and provision. So if our hearts are not overflowing, the fault doesn't lie with him. The fault lies with us. He wants to be blessing us. He wants to be blessing us every day. And so God has led us through all that is past. And we thank him for that. And if we put it into the context of this assembly, God has led this assembly through all that is past. And we thank God for that. We thank him for everything that he's done in the past, every blessing, every provision, everything that God has done to make this place the place that it is today. But we need to understand that God is also leading us in the present. He's led in the past. He's leading us in the present. And again, we thank him for what he's doing now in the present day amongst us. But I believe that God, who has led in the past and is leading us in the present, is wanting to lead us into the future. And to add that with a slight change of words, so I'll say it again, he wants to lead us into the future and in the future that he has prepared for us as a church. And so if God has led us, God is leading, and God is going to, because he wants to lead us into the future, then what we need to do is learn to trust him. Trust him. In turning to Psalm 23, the psalmist isn't so much looking backwards, if you read that psalm, but the psalmist is actually standing as if what he is reading is all about his future. That's what he's doing. What life he still has to live, stretching before him. But he reads it or says it with confidence because he is trusting in the Lord as his shepherd. And so he knew that his future was all perfectly planned out for him. And as he holds the shepherd's hand, he knows that the shepherd is holding his hand. But more than that, he's not only holding the shepherd's hand and knowing that the shepherd's hand is holding him, the psalmist actually realizes that he's actually in God's hands. That's a little bit different, isn't it? To hold a hand and to be in his hands. And how often have we sung that song? He's got the whole world in his hands. And he has. But then when we sing that song, we come down to something a little bit more personal. He's got you and me, brother. He's got you and me, sister, in his hands. And I want to put it this way. I believe with all of my heart that God has got Emmanuel Pentecostal Church in his hands. Amen? Amen. We're all together in his hands. And this same David that wrote Psalm 23 wrote a psalm later. And in that psalm we find that he knew that God knows everything about him. Every minute detail. And that's wonderful, isn't it? David knew that God knew every detail of his life. Every detail from A to B. From birth to death. That's good. But actually, if you read the psalm, it says more than that. He didn't know every detail from birth to death. God actually knew every detail before he was conceived. So that's before his birth. So God knew every detail about David before he was conceived, before he was born, and right through to the moment that he died. This is what it says in Psalm 139. For you formed my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you. For I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed substance. In your book were written, every one of them, the days that were formed for me, when as yet there was none of them. To me, that's incredible. A side note we could put from that these verses should confirm to us that life exists before the baby comes out of the womb. Therefore, any attempts to destroy an unborn child is unacceptable in the eyes of the Almighty. So we can say, from A to B, as far as David was concerned, was not just from birth to death, or conception to death, when you actually read what the scripture has to say, it's actually from eternity past to eternity future. Even before the world was begun, he knew about each one of us. Every one of us. This is what the Lord said to Jeremiah, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Doesn't that tell us how special life is to God? How special the unborn child is to God? Before you were formed in the womb, I knew you. So listen, what does that tell me? God knew everything about me from eternity past to eternity future. Then it tells me that we can trust God. He knows everything, right down to the minutest detail. Look at verse 17 from Psalm 139. It says, how precious to me are your thoughts, O God. How vast is the sum of them. If I would count them, they are more than the sand. I awake and I am still with you. How precious to me are your thoughts, O God. Let me go back to the first verse of that hymn. I have tried to count his blessings. Have you ever tried to do it? I have tried to count his blessings, and I fail to understand why the Lord should so richly reward. Could I count the stars of heaven, add to them earth's grains of sand, still his blessings are more. Praise the Lord. So that's all about counting his blessings. That's the things he's actually done for us. What if we could count his thoughts towards us? As the psalmist said in Psalm 139. How precious to me are your thoughts, O God. How vast is the sum of them. So not only are his blessings towards us innumerable, but his thoughts towards us are innumerable. God is thinking about us all of the time. It's mind-boggling stuff, isn't it? It really is. It's mind-boggling. Our minds can't even understand it. We can't even get our heads around it. The very fact that there might be nearly 8 billion people on this planet, and yet God knows every single one. And God is thinking about every single one. Because he gives us blessings of his grace, which is his saving grace, but he gives blessings of his grace of provisions for every man and woman. Daily blessings. Food we eat, clothes we wear, and everything else. And yet God is thinking about us. And God is blessing us. So this is the wonder. How generous God has been towards us with his innumerable blessings and his thoughts towards us. And yet, in the words of the hymn, the end is not yet, praise the Lord. He still has an abundant and innumerable number of blessing that he's ready to pour out upon you, upon me. But what I want to emphasize this evening is this. He's got an abundant, innumerable number of blessings that he's got ready to pour out upon us as a church. Because the end is not yet. Praise the Lord. So we're going back to David in Psalm 23. A very quick look then at what he says. It shows to us that if we keep the Lord as our shepherd, that's the key. If we keep the Lord as our shepherd, verse 6 tells us we will arrive in the house of the Lord forever. That's what it's all about. Salvation. Allowing Christ to come into our hearts and into our lives. Allowing him to be our shepherd. And then walking with him. And if we remain with him, we will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So the Lord is my shepherd. I've said it. We need to commit our lives to him. We need to be brought into his fold. Out of the fold of the world, the sin of the world. And we need to be brought into the good shepherd, the great shepherd, the chief shepherd's fold. And that is what happens when we're born again by the Spirit of God. I shall not want. Well, blessing still he is bestowing. The good shepherd is our Jehovah Jireh. He is our provider. I shall not want. He makes me lie down. He gives us rest. And why? How we need that rest today in this troubled world in which we're living in. And Jesus said, you in this world, you will have tribulation, or you will have trials, you will have problems, you will have difficulties. Things are not always going to be hunky-dory. But he says, listen, I have overcome the world. Be of good cheer. Rest, because I have overcome the world. And then talks about being in green pastures. He feeds us. As we hunger and thirst after righteousness, we will be filled. He leads beside still waters. He refreshes us. I'm rushing through them. He restores my soul. He energizes us. What we had in scripture, I read it, I shared it at the beginning of the year. Ian shared it again last week. Those who wait on the Lord will what? Those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. He restores my soul. He energizes us. He leads me in paths of righteousness. In other words, we walk in his ways and we walk according to his will. You know, on the farm as we were growing up, my dad mainly just had cattle and sheep, and he had several hundred sheep on the farm. And sheep are creatures of habit. And if you leave sheep long enough in a field, and you've probably seen it if you've drove around the countryside, maybe have not noticed it perhaps, but sheep will always walk on the same path. And so in the end, you'll find that sheep leave a rut in the field. So if you find a sheep's pasture, very often you'll find in that field, there'll be a rut that goes that way, there'll be another rut that goes that way. One may be going to the water trough, the other one might be going to where the farmer goes to feed them. And eventually there's a rut left in the field. And we as kids, we used to love to play in those ruts and follow them on our bikes and everything else. But I want to suggest this evening that we need to seek out not the other sheep of this world's paths, the sheep that have gone astray. We want to follow his paths. We want to follow his ways, and not in the paths that the lost wandering sheep have made, because they will lead us further astray. But his paths are paths of righteousness. And then we got verse 4. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. That verse is such an amazing promise. We need to grab hold of what that promise in that verse really is to each and every one of us. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? Because the Lord my shepherd is with me. And each one of us will walk through this valley, the valley of the shadow of death, whether it is through the loss of a loved one, as we walk through that valley with them before they're taken into the presence of the Lord, or when the time comes for us to leave this world ourselves. Let us be assured that the shepherd that we started out with is going to be with us as we walk through that valley. So we need fear no evil, because he will be with us. So we don't need to fear the evil of death, because the shepherd has conquered it. Amen? The shepherd has conquered it. 1 Corinthians 15, when the perishable puts on the imperishable and the mortal puts on immortality, then shall come to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. It's been taken from us. The sting has been removed. Thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And then the latter part of verse 4 says, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. As we're on our journey from allowing him to become our shepherd till we reach his house, his rod and staff, they're going to comfort us. And the rod and staff are the shepherd's two tools. One of them is to beat the enemy away. The other one is to draw the sheep near and to guide the sheep in the right paths. And the shepherd will beat the enemy away, and the shepherd will guide us in the right paths. And then we come to verse 5. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Just those two words. You prepare. You prepare. If I had more time, I'd go into it a lot more. But you prepare. God is constantly preparing for us. We feast on his delights. We've talked about his blessings and his thoughts towards us. So we feast on his delights. We feast on his words. We feast on his promises. We feast in his presence. We feast together in Christian fellowship. We feast on his blessings. And even though the enemy hates us, and so much of the world hates us, we still feast. And he anoints us with oil, the oil of his blessing. And he blesses, and he blesses, and he blesses, and he blesses as we feast at the table he has prepared for us. And he blesses us so much till the blessings overwhelm us and our cup is overflowing. I read this recently, which made me smile. The pessimist says that the glass is half empty. The optimist says it is half full. But the psalmist says it is overflowing. We, it's overflowing. Let's not be pessimists or optimists. Let's be psalmists. And let's have cups that are overflowing. Because God is wanting to bless us. See, his blessings are innumerable, and they encourage us, and they spur us on in our faith, on our journey, through the wilderness, till we arrive at our heavenly Canaan. Then finally, verse 6, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. There is absolutely no doubt that God's goodness and mercy will follow us. There's no doubt about it. But there's something important. For goodness and mercy to follow us, what do you have to be doing? You have to be moving forward. Because something can only follow you if you're moving forward. If you stop, it stops. It's there with you. And this is all about moving forward, this song. All about moving forward. And if we want surely goodness and mercy, which is the verse that I've said the Lord has given to me for us as a fellowship, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and we can tell all the days of the life of this fellowship, and then we will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. We have to move forward. We have to move forward. We have to press onward with our eyes focused on the finishing line until we get to the place where we can say, I am dwelling in the house of the Lord forever. Yes, surely goodness, love and mercy have been mine along life's way. And surely goodness, love and mercy will still be mine and yours as we continue along life's way. Yes, look back and be excited with what God has done. But more importantly, let's look forward and get excited with what God is going to do as we walk with the shepherd in obedience to his will and in the way he has prepared for us, not just individually, but corporately as a fellowship of believers. Let's be in the eyes. Joshua and the Caleb. Let's believe God that we can take the community around here and reach souls for Jesus. May God help us, every one of us, not to mutter, mumble, murmur. Criticism is another dangerous thing, isn't it, in the church, but to encourage, to spur on, to bless one another, so that together we will receive into what God has planned for us. Amen.